Thinking about starting your own PT clinic? In this episode, we're talking about what it really takes to start and run a successful physical therapy clinic. We're gonna be sharing three big challenges you'll likely face and how you can overcome each one of them.
A big one that everybody has on top of their brain when they first start is funding, right? Where am I going to get all this money? It cost me $200,000 to start a cash-based physical therapy practice. And that's just not true. You can spend a lot of money if you wanted to, but I oftentimes advise against that because you probably want to be making money before you have to a shit ton of overhead with outgoing money. And in business, anyways, you always want to keep your overhead as low as possible because revenue doesn't really matter. Profits matter in the end. But option one, you can start off on a shoestring budget. You can bootstrap it, if you will. You can start seeing clients at their house, traveling to them to build your clientele with very minimal equipment, where all you need is nothing, really. Bring some bands or something if you want. I started off doing that a very short period of time, and I brought a massage table that I already had and like a $12 pack of stretchy bands on Amazon, but I just worked with whatever they had at their house because that's what they're gonna have to do rehab with when I wasn't there, right?
Right.
Yeah. So then, you know, once you build a little bit of a clientele there and you know that you can afford some overhead, you can pay your bills perhaps, your mortgage, your car payment, things like that, then you can find a sublease. And a sublease can be relatively inexpensive. I was paying $500 a month for sublease in a gym that included all of their equipment and space. How much were you paying for your sublease?
I paid $750 for a small room, and then I went to a CrossFit gym and subleased an entire space for $500 a month.
Oh yeah, that was a big space you got for
$500. With a private room.
Yeah. So what I would advise against, though, in a sublease situation is stay away from a percentage-based rent. One, you can say it's the kickback laws, like you're paying them for referrals or whatever, if you have to like talk about it. But I would just stay away from it because I've also been in that situation where I was giving a percentage of revenue away for my rent. And it's really frustrating when you go from paying $150 to $1,500 just because you're good at what you do and you're making more money. And then that kind of turns you into a cash cow for the business that you're subleasing from. So if you do have a percentage or like a dollar amount per patient, set it at a cap, like, hey, I'll give you $20, you know, every time I see somebody on here, up until $500, $1,000 a month, whatever it is. And then just work on the cash flow, right? The big investment with this one is that it's gonna be time, right? You're gonna have to put a lot of time into going out and growing and driving to people. And it does take up more time versus just having your own standalone clinic, but it's gonna save you a ton of money. Option two, you could go into debt. You could borrow money. And while I don't think it's a great idea to borrow money for equipment and startup costs that way, I think it's a fantastic idea to borrow money for mentorship so you can learn how to do the business. Because let's say that you spend $100,000 on equipment, a sublease, you build out this huge place, you still have to learn all of the marketing and all the things that are gonna bring the clients in and how to do the sales and how to retain them and all those things. So if all of your money is going towards that bill that you now have and you don't know how to bring in more money, you've just put yourself in a really shitty situation. So borrowing money for the bare minimum equipment you might need and investing heavily in mentorship, put it on a credit card, ask your friends, ask your family to borrow money, take out a loan. And just remember that in this process, what you're investing in is you, right? You're investing in your skill set, in your knowledge of how to now produce money for yourself, which is very different than having an income from a W-2 job. That's the big thing. Investing in yourself, investing in knowledge and skills versus investing in equipment, because the equipment isn't really an investment. There's no return there. That is an expense. Do you agree with that?
I agree.
Yeah. So the big thing that you have to come to terms with this is that you have to trust yourself, right? Everybody will borrow money for all kinds of shit. You probably, if you own a house, you probably didn't pay cash for it. You likely didn't pay cash to go to college. Maybe some of you did. Maybe some of your parents helped you out. A lot of you have cars that you didn't buy cash for, and a lot of you have cell phones that you also didn't pay cash for. Did I say you didn't buy cash for your car? You didn't pay cash for your car. All these things are finance, right? These are all things that were important enough for you to get resourceful, to borrow money for, to have a $1,200 cell phone in your pocket that you really don't need, a car that you could probably drive a shittier beater car, and it's totally fine, but that was important enough for you to borrow money for. So is, I don't know, the rest of your life and the skill set of how to actually make money for yourself and your family and change your lives forever important enough for you to bet on yourself, trust yourself to do the work, and borrow money for it? I think that's it for funding. Went off on that one.
All right.
You got anything you want to add?
Nope, that's it.
All right.
Challenge number two is marketing. So this is one of the hats that you wear when you start a PT clinic. Marketing is how you are going to increase awareness of people in your area that you exist and about the services that you offer. So marketing and advertising doesn't work if you're just sitting in your office or if you're just making posts on social media. It's also not as simple as just running ads. People have to actually know, like, and trust you. They have to know who you are, what you offer. They have to like you and need what you offer, and then trust that you're going to do a kick-ass job with what your service is. So really what it comes down to is you are building a brand. You are building your personal brand. You are building the brand of your business, and you're developing a reputation. And that doesn't happen overnight. So you have to go out there consistently and frequently just to be able to market your business. So my biggest tips when you start are reaching out to everyone you know. And it's, you know, a lot of people. Look at your Facebook list. Look at your Instagram followers or people that you follow. Look at your phone. All of these are contacts. Reach out to every single person and say, hey, I'm doing this. Do you want to come see me? Or when you're out in the community, or if you're at your local gym, if you do CrossFit and somebody's complaining about pain, tell them about your business and say, hey, do you want to come see me? I can help. We have to build community relationships. So that means at your gym, start talking to the owner, start talking to the coaches, promote yourself and your brand within everybody that's there so that everybody knows who you are, because they already probably like you and trust you as a human. The other thing with the community relationships is you have to go outside of your comfort zone and do more than just the bubble that you're currently living in. So that means you're gonna have to get comfortable getting uncomfortable. You're gonna have to go to new places and probably have some awkward interactions because you don't know what to say the first time you go in and you're like, hi, I'm here. I wanna get to know you and this is my business and I'm not actually gonna buy anything from your business, but I just wanted to meet you. That's really awkward, but we've all been there and done it, right? You gotta get a few shitty reps under your belt before you get good. The first pancake is always shit, is what we like to say. So if you are going out and say you wanna meet local businesses, you can say they're a service, make sure that you're paying for their time. So if you're going and doing a drop-in, pay for the drop-in. You can make it maybe around a time where you have time to talk to the coaches afterwards, or maybe the owner's there. If you're going to, there's a place in San Antonio that did infrared sauna and cryotherapy, and I ended up building a really great relationship with them because they work with active adults and help people who are competing, and they come there for their recovery. And so I went in, I did a tour, I did a cryotherapy, I paid for some of their services, and while I was there, I got to talking to them, and I told them about what I did as well because there was a lot of overlap. So if there's something that you can help and make it more valuable to their people too. Like for instance, I offered free injury screens. That's helpful to the people that are going there for recovery for aches and pains. And if there's a pain that they don't know how to help, oh, cool, I just went to this cryotherapy place and while I was there, I was able to figure out my knee pain. And so these are all different ways that all of the wheels should be turning in your head when you start marketing. You have to make it valuable, whoever you're networking with. Because if it's not valuable, it's just you being selfish and walking into somebody else's business and saying, hey, this is all this information about me. How can you help me? and nobody's, that's a really bad way to start a relationship. You have to lead with your giving hand first. That is how you market.
There's a good book on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Go-Giver is a great book.
Yeah. Sweet. Yeah, so in the beginning, if you don't have clients, but you have time, go use it. And so another example that Roger and I both did in the beginning is if you just Google some local community events in your area and you have enough money to pay to be a vendor there, most of the time it's free. They just want people there to make the event even bigger. But sometimes it's maybe a few hundred bucks. I know at the CrossFit competitions, it was a little bit steeper of a price to pay to be there. But at most 5Ks, at most things like that, it's going to be free because they just want to make the event pretty big. But those are all good ways to get in front of large numbers of people. So people have maybe some brand awareness. And when you're there, you can't just sit passively in your booth because people are going to walk by you. People are going to do the whole avoid eye contact thing. I don't want to talk to you and try to ignore you. So it's your job. You have to, one, maybe do something that brings people to you. Like at CrossFit competitions, I did $10 for 10 minutes of body work. Do not do it for free. You're going to be doing a shit ton of work all day and nobody's going to schedule with you. I learned that the hard way.
Collect their emails too.
Yes. Also good. That way you can continue marketing to them. You can run a raffle and give away free things. If you're giving away a free evaluation, also make sure that you put an expiration date on there. And so then that way, if somebody comes back and it's like 10 months later or 2 years later, sorry, that's no longer valid. That was if you wanted to, you know, come meet or you have this thing. That was something that I always did with my raffles when I was giving away things.
Yeah, I think that's really important too because it encourages people to use it. It's like I always like to put an expiration date that is close. It's like it expires 1 week, maybe 2 weeks from the event, because the idea is to go there and get somebody to come in right away. And then, you know, even if that person maybe that wanted doesn't have an issue, somebody else is complaining about an issue, they can give it to them. And either way, that person comes in a reasonable amount of time. They're not just like holding on to it for forever, coming in 3 years later when they find it in the bottom of their sock drawer.
Yeah. So you have to do things at these events that draws attention. And that might also be standing maybe not behind your table. Get in front of it. Go out and interact with people and say, hey, doesn't it suck to work out with knee pain? Use a hook, reel them in, because they're going to be like, wow, yeah, it does suck when I get knee pain when I'm trying to run. And I, you know, they're going to acknowledge the pain point that you've just talked about. That's part of marketing. You have to know the person that you're offering to or that you're marketing to. Know your niche, know the problems that they have. Because if your service is something that can solve it, talk about the outcomes that you can get with them. So in the beginning, when you don't have clients, but you have time, go use it. If you aren't out there marketing and building relationships and letting people know who you are and what you do and building reputation, you're not going to have anyone coming into your clinic. You're not going to make money because you have no one there, and your business is going to fail. Marketing is an essential part of running a business.
And that leads into sales, right? Marketing and sales go hand in hand. If you've got really good marketing and people know who you are and everybody knows your brand and knows that what it is that you do, but you have mindset issues around sales and you get really weird asking for money, nobody's gonna work with you, right? Think of this, right? You all know a big car dealership in your area. Whatever one just came to mind, they probably do a great job marketing because they came right to mind when I said car dealership in your area. That's what marketing does. Sales, you go there to buy the car, right? Let's say it's a used car, and not that we're used car salesmen because they have like a bad rap typically, right? Like, but when people think of sales, they think yuck, ew, and pushy. Those are the type of words that kind of come to people's minds when they think of sales. If you go to that car dealership, you're buying a used car, and it looks great, it seems to run great, you want to test drive, everything is great, and then you start talking about the price, and the sales guy starts acting a little weird and makes you uncomfortable, you're probably not gonna buy that car because you're gonna think, he's uncomfortable with this. There must be something wrong with this. I'm not gonna get this car. when it could be that he's just uncomfortable talking about money. And that's you, right? If you have mindset issues, if you're uncomfortable saying your price, if you're like, yeah, you know, if you want to come see me, you're out at a marketing event, you're like, yeah, I'd love to help you with this knee pain that you have when you're working out, but it's $199. And they're like, I'm sorry, what? It's how much? You're like, it's $199. Like, what? Don't mumble it. Like, it's $199 for the initial evaluation.
Or what people will do is, it's $199, but you get, you know, this, this, and this, and these are all the things that I do, and I'm going to talk your ear off about why it's justified.
Yeah, that's also the same thing. It's like nobody's going to come see you for your benefits and features, right? They're going to come see you for the results. So if you're like, it's $199, but you get this, and 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 you get this. Like, you're overselling at that point. You're like, again, it's like humans are hardwired for bullshit, for protection, self-preservation. And they're like, well, that's weird that they keep going on and on and on about why I should pay them, right? Like, it's $199, what the hell, we're not. That's it.
I just envisioned like a bullshit alarm going off. Kind of like the Lunk Alarm in Planet Fitness. It's like, wah, wah, wah.
I keep trying to tell her it's the Hunk Alarm at Planet Fitness, but she never says Lunk Alarm. All right, sales. Mostly a mindset issue, right? You have to learn how to sell. You have to learn how to offer your services and how to have those conversations. You have to reframe your mindset, right? You need to go through a personal growth journey and you need to put effort into learning sales. Sales is psychology, period. Every interaction that you have is a sales environment, right? You ever convince your significant other to go out to eat somewhere? Boom, you just sold them on that, right? You ever convinced your kids as to why they need to do their homework or brush their teeth at night when they don't want to? Boom, sales. Everything is sales. You ever got on a date and had a second date? You sold yourself on the first date, right? Everything is sales. You just have to reframe the way you're looking at it. When we talk about sales, it's just a transference of trust, right? Somebody trusts me to solve their problem and they're willing to pay for it. If I trust my car mechanic, I pay for them to fix my car, right? If I don't trust them, then I'm not gonna pay for it. Because I don't trust them to do the job, or I think they're lying, or they're being dishonest, or whatever it is, right? So you also have to remember that people pay for what they value. When people say, that's too much money, it's too expensive, I can't afford it, that doesn't mean that they don't have the money, or they can't spend the money, it's that they don't value it. I've seen people that have $200,000 cars that say, that's too much for physical therapy, I can't afford that, right? People have come in with $30,000 purses and they're like, oh, this is too much, I can't afford this. Like, they can afford it. You live in a $2 million house, it's just not worth it to them. Alternatively, people will spend a ton of money on shit like shoes, right? You know any sneakerheads? How much have they spent on shoes? Like, I'll never spend that much money on shoes. I can't afford it. Not that I don't have the money for that pair of shoes, but that pair of shoes is not worth it to me. There's a difference between somebody, you know, who is about to be living under a bridge or out of their car, right? Versus somebody who just doesn't want to spend that money. Think about all the things that you wish that you could have, right? But it's just not worth it because you could get it. But if you're, terrible example, but like if your mother were gonna die tomorrow and you needed to come up with $10,000 tonight to save her life, like you might be able to figure out a way to come up with $10,000 because it's important enough for you, right? You might dig into all these different places. You might ask friends, family, whatever it is, but you become resourceful because that's important to you, something that you value. And if they don't value it, then it doesn't matter what the cost is, they're never going to pay for it. Somebody that doesn't value physical therapy, they're not gonna pay $75, never mind $200, $300, $400, $500, whatever, $1,000, $4,000. Doesn't matter what the price tag is, they're not gonna pay for it. And you'll notice that. If someone's price sensitive, they're price sensitive. There's some people that just want their insurance to pay for it, and they're probably not a great fit for you because the pain of spending the money has to be less than the pain that they're physically going through or the pain of staying the same, just period. So if we're either on the phone or in person and you're like, hey, I have hip pain. I'm like, hey, Caitlin, what's going on? How's your week? Be a human. Don't have like this fake rapport. How's the weather? Bullshit. Just like, get to know them. Like, hey, Caitlin, I know we have kind of a limited amount of time here. Right, after you get through that, well, let's start over there. Click. Ring, ring, ring.
Hello.
Hey, this is Dog Wash Remove. Caitlin?
Yeah.
Hey, how's your week going so far?
Good. Yeah, I met you at the 5K.
Yeah, I remember. So, listen, I know we have kind of a limited amount of time here. Do you have like 15, 20 minutes to kind of really dig in and devote your attention?
Sure.
Dope. All right, so the way that I found these calls to work best is I want to dig in and find out more about what's going on with your hip pain and the running like you were telling me about at the 5K. And then I want to know a little bit more about kind of what you've done, how that's worked, and how this whole thing is affecting you. And if it makes sense, I can tell you how we operate and how we can help if you want. Is that cool? All right, cool. So, you know, with that being said, tell me a little bit more about your hip.
Yeah, I get really bad hip pain when I go for runs.
Okay, how long has it been going on for?
A couple years?
All right, so tell me a little bit more about the hip pain when you're running. Is it only when you're running, or are there other things that bother?
Yeah, I think it's really only when I run.
Gotcha. So then how long do you run before it starts to come on?
In the past, when it's, you know, really flared up, it'll come on after the first mile. But when my weekly mileage is low, it doesn't bother me. And then once my mileage starts getting higher and it gets more irritated, like first it'll start off like on my 10-mile run, I'll feel it. And then soon after that, once I get to like my multiple 5 miles a week or something like that, then it'll just keep coming up a little bit quicker and quicker. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So this hip pain with running, like how's that impacting you?
I'm not able to follow the program that I'm doing for the race.
Gotcha. So what race are you doing?
I'm doing the St. Patrick's Day half.
All right. So are you doing that by yourself? Is that like with a group or?
I'm doing it with my mom.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, how's that impacting that?
I mean, she's going out for her runs and I'm going to probably be a lot slower than her because I'm having to like stop, walk, or I'm just not getting the mileage in.
Okay. And then, so doing this with your mom, is that something that's important to you?
Yeah, we do it every year. It's a tradition.
How long have you guys been doing it together?
10 years.
Gosh.
This is actually the 10-year anniversary.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're not able to get this done with your mom for the 10-year anniversary, like, how's that going to affect you?
I'd be really upset.
Yeah. I mean, how do you think that would affect your mom?
I mean, she'd be running the race by herself. Whether I'm like, I mean, she would have to slow down and wait for me, which I don't want, or she would be running ahead by herself, or I would just be like on the sidelines cheering her on.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So tell me a little bit more about what you've done already to kind of solve this issue.
I mean, I've done like some hamstring stretches. I've done some of the banded things, like walking to the side, try to work on. I heard it's mostly when this motion gets weak. And so it's about just, I need stronger hips and more flexible.
How long have you been doing that for?
5 years.
Okay. So it's... How's that been working out for you?
I feel like it's not helping, so I stopped doing it, and then I'm like, oh, well, maybe if I were more consistent, it would help.
Gotcha. Yeah, maybe not. You've been doing it for 5 years. I think if it was going to help, it probably would have helped by now, right?
That's fair.
All right, so what else have you done to try to solve this problem?
Nothing. There have been times where I stopped running, and it went away, and then I start running again. And so then, like, when I start running at the lower mileage, like I said, then it's not painful.
Okay. So, I mean, you've tried a couple things, and it's kind of been on and off for years now. I mean, why now? Like, why are you reaching out for help now, though?
I mean, you were just at the event, so I figured I'd ask.
Gotcha. So, there's nothing that makes it, like, important to you right now?
I mean, I'm kind of tired of living with it, and I'm... You know, it's the 10-year anniversary with my mom.
Yeah, I mean, is that kind of it? Because, I mean, you've been dealing with this on and off. Like, you haven't gotten out for it yet. I'm just trying to figure out, like, what is the impetus of you saying, hey, I really need to get this thing fixed. Like, what happened? I know we ran into each other at the event, but, you know, what was the flip, that the switch that flipped?
I mean, I guess I keep stopping running and I don't want to. I want to be able to run long term. I want to be like my mom when I'm older and be able to run well into my late years.
Gotcha. Okay, so I mean, besides just getting rid of this hip pain, like big picture, is that your ultimate goal, or what's like the big picture goal for you long term? Is that it?
Yeah, I want to run long term. I want to do half marathons. I want to do a full marathon one day. My mom wants to too, and she thinks she can only run for so many more years. So it's like important that I'm on the same timeline as her too.
yeah, that makes total sense. Well, Caitlin, I don't feel like I have really any other questions for you at this point. Is there anything that you think I need to know about that I haven't asked about yet?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay. So we can definitely, Caitlin, you, honestly, like, you're exactly the type of person that we see, right? We work mostly with, really just athletic individuals that are active adults that really enjoy running. And we see a lot of hip pain. And people like yourself, they don't tend to do so well, like in the traditional insurance model, because really all you get there are some low-level, silly band exercises, right? The things that you've already been doing for 5 years, some stretches maybe, and like no real actual solutions to your problem to keep you running immediately. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like you're way too high level for that. The way that we treat is really, you know, progressive. It's one-on-one, and we're really focused on individualizing everything to your goals. With us, everything starts off with an initial evaluation, right? Where there'll be one-on-one for about an hour with you and your doc, and or if it's just me, with me and you, right? And we're gonna really dig into everything that's going on. And yeah, we're gonna check out the hip. We're also gonna look above and below that area of pain, because you know, there's always things upstream and downstream that are going on that are contributing and causing that. And if you don't check those out, then you're you're just missing the boat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we'll go in, we'll have that thorough evaluation. At the end of that, we're going to make sure that you understand exactly everything that we found. And we're even going to draw out exactly what a plan of care would look like for you. So you'll know exactly what the process is going to entail in each phase along the way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Cool. So the initial evaluation itself is $299. Is there any particular day or time you'd like to come in?
I like Wednesday afternoons.
Cool. All right. And that's like just an off the cuff, like random phone call conversation that you could have. And the important parts about that are that I found out what is bothering her, right? I found out what activities are bothering her. I asked about other activities that she might not mention, because a lot of times people are like, oh yeah, my hip hurts when I'm running, but it's also at the end of a long day at work, or when I'm sitting, or when I'm sleeping, or this. And it's like, we want to take the gap and make it bigger, whether that's with the activities or the emotions behind it. I found out why it's important to her, because she's going to go run this thing with her mom. And she was like, well, it's just because I saw you at the 5K. And then it turned into, well, actually, it's really because I want to run long term. So I found out, well, I'm calling because I have hip pain. And then another level deeper is because I want to run this St. Patty's Day half with my mom. And then another level deeper is like, there's an emotional attachment because it's tradition, and it's going to be our 10th year doing it together. And then there's another level deeper of, I don't want my mom to be outlasting me in my ability to run, right? We still have bigger goals, and I want to be like her when I get older. I should be able to do this because she's however much older than me, and like she's still doing it. And then I just explained, kind of set some expectations of what it looks like to work with us, and kind of explained a little bit at the same time why other treatments might not work for her. Just kind of painted us as the solution to her problem, told her exactly what the cost was, and then
didn't make it weird
and asked her, when do you want to come in? She's like, Wednesdays, right? And there's some caveats to that, right? People will ask about insurance. I'm like, oh, $299, there's no insurance? You guys take insurance? And then you can just explain to them, like, yeah, you know, we're what's known as an out-of-network clinic, which means that we don't directly accept any insurances, which is what allows us to operate the way that we do and get the results that we do. You know, if you do have out-of-network benefits, you can potentially get reimbursed for some of the cost. It's still upfront though. But if you do have an HSA or an FSA, health savings, or a flex spending account, you can use that.
Yeah.
Wednesday sound good?
Yeah.
Right? Or they're like, oh yeah, I don't know, it's just whatever. Like, I'd really like to know if my insurance reimburses, right? Yeah, listen, Caitlin, that's totally fine. No problem. Just so I understand, though, if insurance doesn't reimburse a single cent, is this a worthwhile investment to you to be able to keep running with your mom and do this this 10-year anniversary half?
Yeah, I can make it work.
All right, so why don't we just do this? Like, let's get you on the schedule, and in the meantime, you can look into it, and let's get you running this this 10-year anniversary with your mom. And then if insurance gives you something on the back end, that's just like a bonus.
Cool.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
And then you just go back in it, right? And with that, it's like we answer the question, we reframe it a little bit, and we find out, like, hey, if they don't pay for it, then is it worth it to you? Because in that situation, if we don't separate the two, insurance might be making the decision. And we want to let her know, like, it doesn't matter what your fucking insurance says. Is it something that you want to do? Yes. Okay, cool. And let's do it. And if we can help you get something back from your insurance, then we'll help you. Take them out of the decision-making process.
And it is a complicated process because there's so many variables in sales. So learning to invest in yourself is going to be pivotal as you're going through a lot of the challenges and new hats that you're having to wear when you start your PC clinic. So speaking of investing in yourself and learning new skills, we do have a free 3-week training course that helps improve your skill set in the clinic, which is going to be the reason that people come to see you. So if you go to moveathleticseducation.com/free, or even just click in the description box below that link there, you're going to get access to 3 full weeks of training videos that you can implement today into your caseload and your clinical skill set.
Yep, and if you guys aren't subscribed to us on YouTube, what are you waiting for? Hit that subscribe button, share this with one of your friends as well that needs to hear this stuff. And we're gonna actually make a part 2 to keep giving you guys a whole lot more information about this.
Because there's a lot more where that came from.